welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. My name is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we're discussing pending legislation proposed in Florida that would severely limit the ability to anchor in a lot of places in that state. Our guests are Dave Skolnick of the Seven Seas Cruising Association and one of our own AGLCA members, David Doyle, who of course is a boater but also owns waterfront property in Florida. Before I officially bring in our guests, I'd like to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. And as always, we encourage all of our listeners out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. With that out of the way, I'd like to give Dave Skolnick of SSCA a little bit of a more formal introduction. Dave is a naval architect and marine engineer. He's also a communications professional, and he is the immediate past president of the Seven Seas Cruising Association. Currently, he is working as a member of the SSCA Concerned Cruisers Committee, which is in place to help support cruisers' rights. And if you're not familiar with the Seven Seas Cruising Association, it's the oldest and largest association of cruisers in the world, and they are actually leading the charge on this anchoring prohibition that is proposed in Florida. But that group includes Boat U.S. and the National Marine Manufacturers Association and AGLCA, who are all opposed to those pending restrictions. So with all of that out of the way, Dave, can you start by kind of filling us in on what this legislation is all about?
I will do that, recognizing that a few things changed just in the last 2 days.
Okay.
The issue came up when Charlie Dean, who is a Florida state senator, sponsored Senate Bill 1548, which has the associated with vessel safety. And it's also got a little bit of a foil towards dealing with the derelict boat problem, which really is an issue in Florida. But the underlying issue of greatest concern to all cruisers, whether you look at it as a waypoint through Florida to get to the Bahamas, as a destination in and of itself, or as part of doing the Great Loop, is that there are a small number of landowners who are trying to protect their views and don't want people anchoring below their houses. That Senate bill includes, as a substantial portion of its verbiage, a 200-foot offset from mooring fields and marine infrastructure, and also from any residential property, whether they've got a dock or a boat or not. And that the latter, with respect to residential properties, is only for overnight, but it does have a big impact on people who might want to stop in some place like St. Augustine or Fort Lauderdale or Miami or Tampa for a few days to recharge and reprovision and replenish themselves before continuing on whatever their particular cruising plans might be. The bill also, unfortunately, limits safe harbor provisions so that even if you break down and need to work on your boat, that would be limited to 7 days, or you have to move your boat. Not clear how they expect to do that. We have had some really substantial work in a number of areas, and some friends in the House, Cameral State. So there's a Senate and a House, just like there is at the federal level in the United States. And just this week, the counterpart House bill was introduced after substantial committee hearings that we could probably talk about in a little bit. That's much more favorable to cruisers, but things could still really blow up in our face.
So do you want to, maybe this is a good time to kind of tell us about that House bill and what the differences between the House and the Senate versions are?
Well, the really interesting thing about the House bill is that they define some new vocabulary. There was some material in the Senate bill about derelict vessels and vessels that are about to become derelict, but not very well crafted. The House bill actually defines something called an at-risk vessel, and they've got a handful of provisions, including things like the boat portions of the boat that are designed to be covered or not. So, from a practical point of view, that would mean missing hatches, missing cockpit locker covers, things like that. It includes leaking fluids. It includes, and they mean fluids like petroleum products, oil, gas, diesel fuel, not gray water issues. Mm-hmm. And sinking. A boat that is currently sinking is considered an at-risk platform. And that helps a lot, because if you can define things, and we've gone through this in Florida before in previous successes, where we did, made a discrimination, we were successful in getting a discrimination between a liveaboard vessel that is not suitable for navigation and a full-time cruiser or a part-time cruiser that is essentially able to be propelled under its own power, whether that power is sail or motor is not relevant. So the House bill is a lot more friendly to us. But like at the federal level, whatever gets passed by the House and gets compared to whatever's passed by the Senate in a conference committee, and lots of things can happen in there. So there's no guarantee without a lot of help and continued help and support from the cruising community to make sure that they are protected.
Mm-hmm. So the Senate bill, while it does address those derelict vessels and those at-risk vessels without defining them, it also includes that 200-foot setback from the waterfront developed property. So AGLCA and most of the associations out there and the cruisers are in favor of provisions that make the waterways more safe, such as those that deal with the derelict vessels. It's really the 200-foot setback that we see as the issue, and the House bill does not have that. The Senate bill does.
Correct. And that's one of the things that's worth just a few, if I can interrupt you for a second.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it's one of the things that people get confused about. Because if mm-hmm. if you're coming from an area like New England or Long Island, most of the river areas of the country, 200 feet doesn't seem like very much. But if you look at the charts in Florida, particularly southeastern Florida, and you think about what 200 feet means, If you're in 10 to 12 feet of water on a 40-foot-ish boat, then you need almost 600 feet across an anchorage for just one boat in order to respect the 200-foot offset. And in Florida, where many, many, many of the anchorages are long and narrow, and you've got to go around the corner to another place, That would essentially put most of Miami and Fort Lauderdale in the category of a no anchoring zone. You wouldn't be able to anchor at all. It's mm-hmm. tight quarters down there.
Well, given that information, do you have any idea how the Senate arrived at that 200-foot level? Because I know there were surveys by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission that didn't necessarily put that setback idea at the 200 feet. Do you have any idea how it arrived at that number?
And there really isn't any question. And without being inhospitable or uncharitable, there are a relatively small number of wealthy people who don't want people anchoring in their view. And those folks have put a lot of money into a lot of pretty good professional lobbyists to try and make this happen. It's interesting, in fact, that Mr. Dean, the senator from far northwestern Florida, where there isn't much anchoring associated with his district, has been the sponsor of this because lobbyists have pushed him to do so. And without being unduly blunt, it's no skin off his nose. So mm-hmm. he's been pushing this. We've had to fight similar kinds of relationships in the past few years, and that appears to be what's happening again, is that there are people in the Miami and Fort Lauderdale area, in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, that just don't want people anchoring anywhere where they can see them at all. And those folks have the wherewithal to get us to the point where we are now, and we have to take our response on the merits of the argument and try and battle that, which is what SSCA, with some support from Boat US and MMA and the AGLCA folks, are doing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, Dave, a moment ago that some attempts at this type of legislation have come up in Florida before. What's different this time, and can you give a guess as to the likelihood of something passing that includes a setback from the waterfront properties?
I think the biggest difference this time is that it's being tackled on a statewide basis. One of the big successes that the cruising community had about 5 or 6 years ago was anchoring regulation from the local level to the state level. That was a tremendous accomplishment on our part, and SSCA played a role in that, and we're very, very proud of that role. The last couple of attempts have been to drag regulation from the state back down to the local level so that a city or a town or a county can impose their own regulation, which means that for those of us who are running down the Atlantic ICW and around through the Florida Keys and then up the west coast of Florida, we'd have to keep track of what county we're in and what jurisdiction we're in order to understand what the rules are. And that could be a real problem if people are used to making 40 or 50 or 60-mile days, and all of a sudden they find that it's going to be a 120-mile day or a big marina bill in order to be able to legally spend the night. What happened this time is that the forces, the individuals that were pushing for a ban on anchoring said, okay, didn't work, let's try something new and creative. And so they've come up with this offset level in order to essentially accomplish the same ends, to ban anchoring in their views.
So, Dave, I know, as you've mentioned and I mentioned, SSCA has been really leading the charge on this. AGLCA is at the ready and willing and able to put some resources into helping on this issue. A lot of our members have done some letter writing as well as the association. Tell us what else SSCA is doing today to continue the fight.
Well, this is a big deal for us. We are a global organization. We have members all over the planet. Some of our board members dial in to our board of directors members dial in from literally from the South Pacific over Skype in order to participate in that. But Florida is a big deal. It's a launching point for a lot of people's dreams, whether those dreams are to go to the Bahamas or the Western Caribbean, or through the canal and across the South Pacific and around the world. So we take it pretty seriously when an important waypoint like Florida becomes less charitable towards cruisers passing through their waters. So we had at House committee meetings this past Tuesday, we had seven people show up. We've got a very organized set of volunteers, most of whom are now self-trained at lobbying government organizations and are all registered lobbyists, so they can gain access to might otherwise be difficult for the general public to get into. And those folks show up on their own, and we're organized, so it's all figured ahead of time. But people stick their hand up in the air and say, I want to come, and here's what I can contribute, here's what I'm good at, here's what I can talk about. And we get our messages all lined up and straight, one person to the other, so that we're not all reading from the same note cards, but everything ties to everything else. And seven people's a lot. Boat US had one person. who wasn't there the whole time. And NMMA had one person who wasn't there the whole time, and we had seven. And so our voice is pretty loud, and we clean up okay. Like most visitors, we generally have to make a little effort to do that, but our folks clean up all right. And we've got good relationships not only with many of the representatives in the House and the members in the Senate, but with the professionals at the FWC at Florida. They're Fish and Wildlife folks, Department of Natural Resources equivalent, depending on what state you're used to. And so we get heads up on things, and we make visits, and we make phone calls, and we maintain email correspondence with folks so that we're not surprised, and so that our friends at the FWC are not surprised by what our position is going to be. And we try and educate them so that their position is as closely aligned with cruisers' interest as is possible.
And, of course, cruisers' interest, your interests align very well with AGLCA. Our members have been very vocal about this particular issue over this past week. And I did mention to Dave before we actually began on this interview that AGLCA is here to put some resources behind this. We've got about 2,800 members, so we're not as large as SSCA, but we are willing to help with this charge. Of course, we've got those members. A large concentration are in Florida, particularly at this time of year. So, just putting it out publicly, we are ready, willing, and able to help with this. I know that the House bill is much more promising than the Senate bill, but we do understand there's still some work to be done on this. So, tell us what individual people or members of associations can do, and does it matter if they're Florida residents or not?
Well, it matters a little bit, but not as much as you might think. There are a number of things that you can do, and I'm going to just do a top-level thing, but we'll be providing some material to AGLCA in the next day or two that they can that y'all can distribute to your membership at large so that you don't have to make this stuff up as you go along. You don't have to guess. We've got templates for letters. It's always best if you customize it to yourself. But we've got templates to give you some place to start from. If you're a Florida resident, you absolutely positively would be great if you would write to your representative and your senator at the state level and tell them that you oppose setbacks, that the House bill with its characterization of at-risk vessels is good, that you don't want derelict vessels, but that restricting anchoring rights is not the way to accomplish that. Everybody, whether you're a member of whether you're a resident and voter in the state of Florida or not, can write to the Chambers of Commerce in the major boating areas like St. Augustine, the Florida Keys, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Port St. Joe, any of the big centers where you spend time or have in your cruising plans, write to the Chambers of Commerce and tell them that, anchoring restrictions will mean that you are that much less likely to be able to spend money with the small businesses that they represent. It would not hurt to write to the manufacturers of the equipment that you carry on your boat. If you're a Raymarine boat, write to Raymarine and tell them that you'd really like to see more support from NMMA. If you've got Garmin, write to Garmin and ask them the same thing. Veruno, Simrad, B&G, Lowrance, any of those folks, all of whom are members of NMMA, if we can get the members of NMMA to push NMMA lobbyists to show up, that would really, really help. In addition, write to West Marine. Write to Sailorman, any of the business. Write to Publix grocery stores. Tell them that you're a cruiser and that you enjoy your time in Florida waters, and it's looking like it's going to become less attractive. And you would really appreciate it if they would weigh in with their representation to try and avoid restrictions on anchoring rights. So you don't have to be a Florida resident or a Florida voter in order to make a difference.
Okay, well, great. We're going to pause for just a moment to hear a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I'd like to bring in David Doyle, who is an AGLCA member, and he can kind of give us some of the Florida local perspective there. Back in a minute.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services, 3 pools, and 2 restaurants. Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, 3 pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, let's bring David into the conversation. David, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the, particularly on the setbacks that are in the bill.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, first of all. I appreciate it, and
thank
I appreciate
you for being
FSCA,
here.
Contributions toward fighting this act. I personally live in an area of the St. John's River that has been a very popular anchorage stopover for cruisers going north and south for many years. And to us, it's kind of exciting to look out the window and say, oh, we have company tonight, and see a cruiser anchored out. We oftentimes go out on the dock with a VHF and try to contact the folks. Very interesting, some of the stories that you can hear and things you can learn. An overnight anchoring person that's traveling is really not a detriment, in my view, to anybody's property rights. What we have, like David was saying, is you've got some folks down in southern Florida that have financial resources that want to get something done, and rather than get a local representative whose constituents would be angered by such a move, they went shopping for a state representative that lived in an area that didn't have much of a boating interest. And they found this person and got him to sponsor this bill. And was alluded to earlier, he really doesn't, has no skin to lose off of his nose by this thing one way or the other. But it's really all about, not in my backyard kind of thing. I don't want to see a boat out. I don't. I mean, I personally enjoy seeing the cruisers. I see them anchored. One resource I haven't heard mentioned that I would bring up maybe would be the St. John's River Keeper. Lisa Reinemann, I've spoken with her about this issue. And her point of view is that this would shut off a major portion of the St. John's River. You take 200 feet from either side of the river, and you're going to close off a lot of places that cruisers like to anchor as they cruise up and down the St. John's. And, yes, they do stop at public landings and marinas and restaurants and spend money. They go to Publix and restock. So I would suggest maybe someone get in touch with Lisa. And there are other river keepers in the state of Florida as well that may be able to weigh in. They all have their own lobbying groups in Tallahassee, and they're very well known, and certainly could put together some pushback on this issue. We definitely have a problem in Florida with the derelict boats. I've looked at the House Committee bill. It looks like a great idea, but it's still, if you read it, it's still a long, drawn-out process. I've spoken with some of the FWC people, and they all agree, yeah, we can go by and ticket the boat, but it takes so long for the judicial process to allow them to actually do something about that. And then it comes down to a matter of monetary resources to actually go out and remove a derelict boat from the waterway. Unfortunately, too often they actually sink before anything ever really gets done about it. And again, that is an issue, but that issue, I don't think the derelict boats are being stuck in places where hopefully nobody will see it, nobody will notice it for a while. They kind of try to go stick it off in a corner someplace. The overnight anchorage, Florida's a great state. Dave mentioned it is a big deal to a lot of people. I I suspect Florida probably has more miles of shoreline and cruising grounds than any other state in the union has available to it. So Florida is obviously a big deal to any cruising boater. They're not going to go hardly anywhere without spending some time or passing through the Florida area, and Florida is a beautiful place to go cruising. So I wish everybody all the luck in the world in getting this bill repealed. Unfortunately, we have to be prepared. These people are going to try to find another way to come forth and do this. They just simply don't want a boat in their backyard. My point of view and my statement to them would be, if you don't want to see boats on the water, don't live there. I think that's good advice.
David, tell us a little bit, because you do own waterfront property there. I'm sure you've discussed this issue with neighbors, and you're part of the state. Are there property owners who are in favor of this bill?
I live on a very unique road. It's only about a mile and a half long, and it's waterfront from its beginning where it turns off the main highway all the way out to the tip. And I really don't know of anyone on my street that is against the anchoring. In all actuality, it's not uncommon to see a boat come in and anchor in the waterway in front of our house, and the folks get off and get on a dinghy and paddle up to somebody's dock. There's a lot of folks on the street that I live on that are cruisers or have been out and have gotten to know cruisers and enjoy seeing the folks come in. And many of them that come by do have friends in the neighborhood and come and say hello. I've not spoken to a single neighbor that has a problem with boats anchoring in front of our houses.
Mm-hmm.
A night or two they come in, they stay a night or two, you know. Would you complain because your neighbor had a company come and they pulled up and parked out in the street while they visited their friends for a day or two? I think not. And that's what a lot of these folks are doing. If they're not pulling up out there, they stop and anchor
for a night. This is one of the few issues that – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, they stop and spend the night, and then they get up and go on. And, I really don't see an issue to that. It adds to we like to call it a fluid environment. We don't always look out the backyard and see the same fence and the same trees and the same sights as a land-locked home does. We have the option of having a different view every day. We get to watch we pay a high price in property tax to be able to do that. But it's to us, it's just part of the aesthetics that we look for to be on the water. Go ahead.
That's a great way to look at it. And I've heard from many AGLCA members who, without exception, are against the setbacks, including several like yourself who own waterfront property in Florida. And as we've said, it really comes down to the difference between these at-risk or derelict vessels and a well-founded cruising, moving boat that someone is using at their leisure to move and cruise, not to sit outside somebody's house for weeks on end in a vessel that's really not seaworthy. So it's an interesting issue that such a small group of homeowners, apparently, that are interested in this setback have been able to get this proposed. So AGLCA is encouraging our members, and we ourselves are doing what we can, including letter writing, as Dave suggested. Do either of you, Dave or David, have any other suggestions on what people and organizations should do to get involved?
Well, yeah,
the most important thing is to vote. Go ahead, David.
Oh, by all means. Go ahead, by all means. And I reminded my representative of that. We just had a primary election here this week. And I, in my letters to the folks involved, I reminded them that I made it a point to vote. I always make it a point to vote. I had somebody actually knock on my door a few years ago wanting to talk to me about the fact that they were running for election. And I asked them, I said, well, how did you happen to come to knock on my door? And they said, you're listed as a super voter. You never miss an election. So believe it or not, these political organizations keep up with those of us that do vote And when it comes time for them to run or do something, they want our opinion. So by the same token, if we write a letter to them, I'm sure they can go down and look and say, oh, look, this person participates in all the local elections. We should respond to them in hopefully a positive manner if we want their vote. Again, the Riverkeeper organization, David, if you can get in touch with them somehow, or contact me after this, and I'll try to help you with that if need be. Their idea is to promote tourism and promote good ecological things for the rivers in Florida. Cruising, believe it or not, is something that they consider a positive element to have cruisers enjoy the rivers. So they would certainly be a good group to have in support.
Organization is always a important and helpful thing, and organizations like the Seven Seas Cruising Association, like AGLCA, like Boat US, provide a lot of services to everybody, whether you're a member or not. But for a relatively small amount of money, you can become a member of one or two or all of those organizations and make a substantive contribution so that, just for example, our volunteers who spend their own time supporting this effort and other similar ones like it in Maryland and Connecticut and Rhode Island and elsewhere around the country and the world, we try and pitch in a little bit and cover their gas money. We've got a gentleman who has driven twice in the last month from Annapolis to Tallahassee in order to testify before Florida state government committees. And it's nice if we can sort of pitch in and help him cover his gas money and maybe even a little bit of his room at the Red Roof Inn. But we can't do that without members. And membership money means a lot. And like SSCA, I know that AGLCA provides many other benefits above and beyond just supporting lobbying. It's not a lot of money out of your pocket. It's less than a dinner for a couple in most cases. And we really appreciate the support. In our case, we I don't want to get into a comparison on things, but your money really goes to the things that support you as cruisers, regardless of which of the organizations that you join. And you can join more than one because we're really not in conflict with each other. We work together. We sit side by side at the table supporting cruising rights and cruising opportunities, and you're not going to get that working on an individual basis the way that you can when we're organized and we sit and stand together to support ourselves.
I agree.
Thank you, Dave.
The more organizations we can be a part of, the better. I'll bring up, I'm also a member of the MTOA organization, who has a very active letter-writing campaign going on right now to the appropriate people in opposition to this bill. So that's another organization that's pitching in and doing what they can.
Perfect. That's all very helpful information. We appreciate it. Dave, before we wrap up, tell people where they can find more information about SSCA.
The easiest place is to go to our website at ssca.org. We do have one staff person who's full-time during the work week, and you can always email Judy at office@ssca.org, and if she can't answer the question for you, she'll tap one of the very many volunteers that we're dependent on for our organization to answer the question for you.
Okay, Dave, thank you so much for joining us and for providing all of the information we need to continue to oppose this bill. David, thank you also for being here and kind of providing the perspective from a waterfront homeowner in Florida. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio. In the meantime, if you are looking for more information on America's Great Loop, you can visit our website at greatloop.org. And we will also continue to post updates and keep our members informed about this bill through our discussion forum. Again, thank you all for being here, and we will see you again soon. Until then, safe cruising.
That's it. We're done.